This is the B-side of the lecture for January 1997. The title is Haggai and Modern Times. The book of Haggai is primarily a chronological prophecy. It has to do, from an emphasis point of view, with a time period that Haggai mentions, and in actual fact, a particular day of the year, which had significance back at his time, but also will have significance for our time today. And you and I should be paying attention to this single day that he mentions in this prophecy. That is why it is primarily a chronological prophecy. And the difficulty in understanding it by many interpreters happens to be a chronological one. And I can understand why. It is not easy to understand exactly on the surface. But as we get closer to the end, these prophecies are beginning to be made clearer and clearer, and we're soon going to be able to understand exactly every detail of this prophecy of Haggai here and where it fits into the overall scheme of the prophetic scenario dealing with the time of the end leading up to the second coming of Christ back to this earth. So Haggai here, in these two chapters, he starts out by giving the historical scene and a problem that had arisen amongst the Jews who had returned from Babylon under the leadership of Zerubbabel, who was of Davidic stock, but of course was not a king that had been taken away from Judah at that time, and under the auspices of the high priest Joshua. Now, these two were the leaders of a little over 50,000 Jews who had returned from Babylon to Jerusalem. And they were building up the city of Jerusalem, little by little. And they wanted to rebuild the temple of God. And in actual fact, they had a prophecy that the temple of God would be rebuilt. And I'm going to, at this time, the way they interpreted it, and I'm going to be giving you that prophecy in a moment. When they looked at the prophecy, however, they felt some 18 years after being back in the land of Palestine, that things weren't going exactly as the prophecy that they read that they thought should be taking place. And the first chapter here of Haggai is to inform the Jews of their problems that they have had in not performing certain things that God wanted them to do, because they kept waiting on God to do something. They kept waiting on God to perform his prophecies that he said he would accomplish, and it looked like he was not doing the job. And so they were sitting back and not performing certain things. Here is what we find Haggai sent by God to tell the Israelites at that time, who were slacking a little bit, and they weren't beginning to rebuild the temple at Jerusalem. They were waiting on God to do some things, while they themselves were continuing in their own lives. True enough, they were back in the Holy Land, and they had established an altar in Jerusalem, at the former spot of the where the altar was in the time of Solomon. But they had not started to rebuild the temple, God's house. The altar, in a sense, was standing out in the open with the rain and the wind and the snow coming down on that altar. It was not in a house. It was not in the place that God had designed for it. And God was angry with them. So here's what we find. In the second year of Darius, the king. Now this Darius was a Persian king. They had come down in the reign of Cyrus, the first Persian king. Now, Cyrus was of Media Persian stock, but he was, technically speaking, the first king of the Persians. Here, he was followed by his son Cambyses. And now we have the next Persian king called Darius. This is some 18 years after they had come back to Palestine, and they had not started to rebuild the temple yet, and that was the problem. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, that's in the summertime, in the first day of the month, now that month is Elul, if you want to put it down in the Hebrew calendar, it always occurred somewhere in the month of August, somewhere around in there. On the first day of the month, this would have been a new moon day. This would have been 1 month before Tishrei, 1 month before the Day of Trumpets and all of that. The word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, and it came to Zerubbabel, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. So here is a prophecy given to these two men who were the leaders of the nation, of these 50,000 Jews who were in the land of Palestine. And the prophecy starts out by saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts. And the Lord of hosts simply means the Lord of armies, the armies of heaven, meaning all the angelic forces, plus all the army that he controlled in heaven, the sons of God. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. You see, it's a chronological matter here. The time has not come. They were saying to Zerubbabel, let's not build the house of the Lord. They were saying to Joshua the high priest, it's not time to start to build the house of the Lord. It was a chronological matter. All right, here's what happens. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, that's verse 3, it is time for you, O you who dwell in your sealed houses, that means your houses with beautiful roofs and ceilings, and this house lie waste. What house? The house of the Lord. It was not being rebuilt. They were building their own houses, but they weren't rebuilding his house, God's house. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earns wages to put them into a bag full of holes. In other words, they were in real tough circumstances. Because they were in tough circumstances, that was one of the reasons that they were all saying, it's not time to build a house of the Lord. We live in our own homes, all right, but we don't even have enough money to help ourselves. And it's a difficult period of time that we are in. In fact, you're going to find it was a difficult time because it was God who was sending the difficult time upon them. You're going to find that in a moment. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's what he said before. Up there in verse 5, now he repeats it in verse 7. Consider your ways. He didn't say, consider my ways. God didn't say that. He said, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. Bring wood. He meant to the Lebanese mountains. Bring wood, bring timber, and build the house, that is, my house, the temple. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, said the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. That means with pestilence. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is laid waste. You build your own homes before you build mine. You see what he's saying? And you run every man to his own house, but you don't run to mine. You don't get the timber for mine. You're not building up mine. I sent you down here to build up my house, and it's laying waste. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed with from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I called upon a drought, upon the land, and upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground brings forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of your hands. Now, you see, they were in trouble. And yet they were saying, it's not time to build the house of the Lord. God had sent all of this for 18 solid years, and they're still saying, it's not time. Why? Because they were expecting much. It says here, remember, verse 9, you looked for much. You know the prophecies that they were looking at? And they were looking for much. Let me just tell you what they were doing. Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, led these 50,000 plus Jews down to Palestine to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and also the temple that was there to bring it back into a proper state. That's right. In fact, if you'll go with me to Ezra chapter 1 in the first three verses, it speaks about the time when, at the beginning of Cyrus's reign, king of Persia, a command was given to go down and to build the house of God, and also the city of Jerusalem. Ezra chapter 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled by Jeremiah, The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Then he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and he put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with you, and let him go up. Go up to Jerusalem. Now that was a command by Cyrus, king of Persia. And we find that Zerubbabel and Joshua led 50,000 Jews down to that very area to do what? To build the house of God. That was first of all. They built their own houses first, you see. Now this is what Haggai is saying 18 years after. 18. But it says, you looked for much. You looked for much. Yes, and they had a right to look for much, because, you know, there was a prophecy about this Cyrus in the Bible, the very Cyrus that was to raise up this temple. If you go to Isaiah chapter 44, and beginning in verse 22, I should say 21, here is this prophecy of Isaiah, which they had in their midst, and they were expecting it to be fulfilled. They were expecting much. It's a chronological problem, though, let me tell you. And Haggai is talking about that. And if you wonder what the teaching is for us, it's a chronological problem for you and me, too. But the chronology is going to be made clear pretty soon. Now, here is what the prophecy of Isaiah said would occur when Cyrus would give the command to rebuild the temple at Jerusalem. Starting in chapter 44, you mark this down, Isaiah 44, verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, Isaiah said, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you shall not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, and I have redeemed you. Seeing, O heavens, he continues on down. Then he finally comes down to verse 26. He speaks here about the Lord, who is their Redeemer, and that he is going to rescue them. And he says here in verse 26 about Jerusalem, that saith to Jerusalem, to the city of Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah you shall be built. I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, that is the ocean, be dry, and I will dry up the rivers. He means, if I have to dry up the ocean or the rivers to get you down to Jerusalem, I will do it, God says. Then look at verse 28. That saith of Cyrus, see this Persian king back there? Now this has a future relevance to it in our day today, but back there, just look at it. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Now, that's what it says of Cyrus. That was actually written 200 years almost before Cyrus ever came along. But the Jews had that prophecy, and they were going down under Cyrus's command as king of Persia to rebuild the temple, because the command was given by Cyrus. But wait, that doesn't end it. The next chapter starts on about this Cyrus. It says, keeps right on going, Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to his Messiah, to Cyrus, this Gentile, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. In other words, the gates of Babylon are going to be opened up, and the captives shall be able to go back to where they're going. And they'll be able to go back to Jerusalem. They'll build up Jerusalem. They'll build my temple. That's what he's going to do. Now, going on down in this chapter 45, let's come down now to verse 17. Israel shall be saved in the Lord at this time with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said, not under the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. That, you know what they were expecting? Much. They were expecting the kingdom of God to come on the earth. But you know what they were getting? They weren't getting the kingdom of God. But you know, Cyrus had sent them down there to do one specific thing, to rebuild the temple of God. And you know what they were doing? Building their own houses first. So Haggai says, consider your ways, not my ways. And because of their ways, God wasn't coming along with that much, you see, that they were expecting. In actual fact, when you get that whole prophecy of Isaiah 44 and 45 into account, you will find that even applies to the end time in its complete fulfillment. Now, there are all types of scriptures on this, and I have given them in the past, and I could take the rest of this lecture on Haggai to explain them. But you're going to have to understand that even the Apostle Paul said, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, these things happened to those people in the past for us who live at the end of the age, so that we might understand. And these are all been put into a book for our understanding, who are just on the verge of going into that very kingdom that all the prophets from the time of Moses and David and on through have been prophesying, and that the New Testament prophets have been also talking about. God gave them a command to start building his house, and that was the specific reason for going down, and they were putting it off. He said, consider your ways. Now, when that prophecy was given to Zerubbabel and Joshua, all of a sudden they began to blink their eyes. Let's see what happened. Verse 12 then of chapter 1. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, that is the ones that are down there, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. In other words, they began to change their minds, do the job that God gave them to do. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and gave the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, governor of Judea, the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. In other words, 24 days after the first prophecy, they finally made up their minds. They were going to get wood up in Lebanon. They were going to get the timber, they were going to start to get the stones, and they were going to lay the foundation stone of the temple that they had been sent down there to do in the first place. Now we come to chapter 2 in the King James Version. In the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, for all of you who know about the festivals of God, this is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now Haggai, his very name means Festival of the Lord, indicating a festival period like the Feast of Tabernacles. And the 21st day of the month, here is this prophecy. The word of the Lord came to Haggai. Speak now to Zerubbabel, governor of Judea, and Joshua the high priest. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as of nothing? It was much smaller that they were having to do. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, and Joshua the high priest, all the people of the land. I am with you. According to the word that I coveted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, and fear you not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, now this is a little grammatical problem on this as far as the commentators are concerned. They don't know if it's once or once again, but never mind. Yet once in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth. Now, once like I did it in the past, I'm going to do it in the future. Now, he doesn't tell them the time he's going to do it, but it won't be long as far as they are concerned. He goes on to say, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, that is my house, saith the Lord. And it's that house. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place, right where they're going to establish it in Jerusalem, I will give peace, saying the Lord of hosts. Now that is on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So now they got all the material ready to go. They're now ready to start the foundation of the temple itself, and that is where verse 10 comes in, because a particular day is now picked. A particular day in which the foundation stone was placed upon that temple back there. The interesting thing is, when you read this, you get the feeling that what is going to occur in the future is going to be that particular temple there with those stones. But he does say it's going to come once again a little while, but he doesn't tell them when. He does not tell them. The chronological problem is the difficulty here. They thought it was in their time. They even thought the glory was to come to that temple. But you know, every house of God that has ever been built, starting with the one in the Garden of Eden, starting with the tabernacle also in the wilderness, and the one at Shiloh that was established there, and also Solomon's temple, and this one here, and the one built by Simon the Hasmonean, and the one built by Herod that our Lord said was the house of God, and all of that in my Father's house. Every one of those different temples still represented what? The one house of God in heaven. That's what he's talking about. Any replica here on earth can be considered as fulfilling the prophecy. All right, what happens then? Here's verse 10. In the 24th day of the 9th month, that is the month of Kislev, that is near our December, in the 9th month of Kislev, on the 24th day of the month, that is when they established the foundation stone in that temple. They were doing the job, starting to do it, that God said. It was in the second year of Darius, and at that time the Lord gave a prophecy to Haggai. He said, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy?" And the priest answered, "No," because it was a common food that they were talking about. Then Haggai said this, "If that which is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be clean?" And the priest answered, "It shall be unclean," because the dead body gave uncleanness, you see. Then in verse 14 he says, "Even though you have laid the foundation stone, this people and this nation is before me unclean." He said that, unclean. The interesting thing is that though the foundation stone was made by these people, he considered them to be unclean. It was going to have to be done in the future by another group. Another group. The temple was established. Now you go on down, you will find that he says, verse 18, "Consider now from this day," that is the 24th day of the 9th month, "even the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? As yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you." Up to that time they had nothing but drought. They had nothing but difficulty. They had nothing but problems. But now he says, from this very day. Now I'm going to point this out to you, because we're coming into a period of time just on the horizon when you better pay attention to this 9th month and the 24th day of the month. And you know what this 9th month of the 24th day is? A little later, with this same temple, once it was destroyed by Antiochus Epiphanes and 168 B.C., it was restarted again by a person named Simon the Hasmonean. In actual fact, the altar was first cleaned up by his brother Judas Maccabeus. And they started the festival of Hanukkah, the festival of dedication mentioned in the New Testament. And you know when Hanukkah starts? The 9th month, 25th day of the month. The day after this, Hanukkah has something to do with the reestablishment of a temple, but a temple made by clean people, a temple that God will absolutely vouchsafe to be proper and right before the second coming of Christ. He says, from this day, from this very day, of a time in the future which he did not identify when it would be. You get the feeling when you read through here that it meant their time. But you read in the book of Malachi, written about 100 years later, and you'll find they're still in drought. They're still in difficulty. They're still having their problem. It has to do with a future time. And that's why this prophecy here, as I am trying to point out, is Haggai and the modern times, which we will be able to understand. He goes on to say, "In that day of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel." This is the last verse of the prophecy. "My servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, I will make you as a signet For I have chosen you, saith the Lord of hosts. It means that his signet, his power of authority, would be handed down to someone in the future who would have a name like he has. Just like John the Baptist had the office of Elijah, and an Elijah is to come in the future. There's to be a future Zerubbabel, someone who is a prince of Israel, a prince of David, who will be born in Babylon, not born in Palestine, but be in Palestine, finally, and he's going to raise up a new temple. And the foundation stone is going to be made on the ninth month of the 24th day of the month. And from that very day, God is going to bless this new people, not the people back there who were unclean. He said they were unclean. He said, this is not the time for it. The time is going to come when he's going to make a people in the future that will have their hands clean, clean of idolatry, clean of false teaching, who will be able to accomplish this task. That's why you have to go to the next book, Zechariah, to find out who the people will be. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10 says, I will send a spirit of grace and supplication upon Jerusalem and on the people. That's what it says. And they will return to the one whom they have pierced. They're going to return to Jesus Christ. That's the people who will get rid of idolatry out of Palestine before the second coming of Christ, who will lay a foundation stone at a new temple in Jerusalem. And that new temple in Jerusalem is the one being discussed here, which is going to have the foundation stone in the near future. I don't know exactly the year yet, but keep your eyes open. The month of Kislev, near our December, the day before Hanukkah starts, from that day forward, I will bless you. This concludes the B-side of the lecture for January 1997, Haggai and Modern Times.